good. You're good.
Thank you so much.
You're good. You're good. You're good. He's good. He's good. He's good.
Everybody, come on. Come on.
We got him out.
Take a breath, man. You're good, man. You're good.
Oh, my God.
Watch your step here. Here, throw the bag in the back seat, please. Have a seat, man. Have a seat. Here, want to give him the dog?
That's audio you're listening to from the body cam of the sergeant from the CPD, Chicago Police Department, who went out to rescue that man who fell into, you know, actually got into Lake Michigan to rescue his dog, and then he needed to be rescued himself. The commander from that district is here with us right now to talk about this. I mean, daring, courageous, just the rescue, the fact that it happened, and the quick thinking and the quick actions of the police officers, just remarkable here. Commander Sean Loughran, you're here. How do you feel about what the men there did that day?
Incredibly proud. Incredibly proud. I've described this as catching lightning in a bottle. You look and see, this is the kind of thing that goes on literally every day and every watch around the city, but here we have an opportunity to see this captured on body-worn camera. High-definition video that really, really draws the emotion out of you when you watch it.
If you haven't seen it, look it up, because it's just, it just shows, I mean, how you sprang into action. You obviously weren't the fire department, ARC, rescue department in your dry suits that you could actually, if you fell in at that point, you would have been in danger. There were so many dangers given that scenario. And you used a dog leash, because that's all you had to help pull this man out of the water.
Correct. Yeah, but to be clear, these are the guys. I wasn't involved in the rescue. I'm down here on their behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Without really any discussion, I know Alex Silva took the lead, and you know he's a sergeant that's involved in it. He directed the other five guys. Everybody gathered together, and I know that it was on everybody's mind on the way there when they're racing to the scene. What do we use? What do we use?
And how long can the man survive? I mean, this is the we've put this in perspective. This was
34 degree lake water at the time.
It had to be right. It was 10 degree high. It was the polar vortex time. It was some of the most brutally cold temperatures.
You're talking. I think the wind chill was somewhere around 50, 51 below. According to Dr. Google, and you know, it's
I love his work.
Yeah, he's
her work,
top notch work, top notch work. Yeah, so. So his core temperature, the gentleman, you know, Eric's core temperature.
Yeah, when he rescued.
Right. Once they got in the hospital, and this is afterwards. This is after he's already recovering. He's in a warm car. He's got a blanket. He's at 93 degrees. So that's when your cognitive function starts to, you know, he couldn't remember his own phone number, couldn't use his hands. And if you pay attention to some of the detail of the video, so what Alex does is he grabs a dog leash from the initial caller, who, small world, I actually know.
Oh, my gosh.
Her and her partner were out there and saw him go in the lake. And they weren't really sure at first because you couldn't see from where it's at.
Right.
Where there's the ice shelf that goes out, and then because of the waves, there's
it
a
created
real
formations of ice there that
correct.
Were sort of peaks and valleys.
Yeah, huge, slippery, that's
slopes.
Wet. It's wet and everything. So when he went over, he was in, as he describes, about waist-deep water. And then he's got the dog, and now he can't get out. So he starts traversing the shore. And so now he starts going, he goes, oh, it's lower down there. So as he's going, he's getting further and further in the water. So now he's at that point where they extract him. He's in his water up to, in the water up to about his shoulders. And so now by the time all this happens, the police arrive on scene. They're talking with the initial caller, and they're even doubting. They're like, we don't hear him, we don't see him, you can't see him where you're at.
Yeah.
And even if you stand on the shore where he initially went in, you could not see him from his point.
Wow.
So now he's, you know, that could be a very bad day.
So if your friend, who was also walking her dog,
correct,
had
yeah.
not seen him fall in because she was the one who called it
correct.
In.
Correct, yeah. It's a
Lord knows.
Yeah, and it's, so, and even in talking with her, you know, they were, again, they weren't sure. And so at which point, you know, you talk about all things happening for a reason. Eric threw his dog up on the shore, and then they see the dog pop up, and they go, hey, there he is! So then they all, you know, move to that point.
The dog served as sort of the beacon to let us know where Eric was. And back to Anna's point here, too, Sean, the officers got a lot of training in a lot of areas, but not in this type of rescue operation. They're just like anybody else at this point. I mean, they're winging it, right?
Absolutely. And I know Alex was talking about that in previous interviews. He's mentioned what was he going to use. Andrew Larson, one of our field training officers, another sharp guy, as soon as they got there, and you're picturing this is a desolate lakefront.
Yeah.
He ran up and jumped, and he pulled on a tree branch, about an 8-foot tree branch, and then he was there. If you see in the background of the video, he's kind of just throwing it down, and as they kind of form the...
Show me this.
Yeah, and it's not something that we train for. It's not something... but yet, if you pay attention to the video, they just kind of did it all together. And
they formed like a human chain, essentially.
Yeah.
Which still... But the way they described it, and this puts even more in perspective, that they said there was sort of the ice breaking beneath their feet as
Correct.
They kind of crunched their way out to his location.
Correct, yeah. And if you watch it, so they all come to the lakeshore at different points. And at that beach, at Foster Beach, it had frozen out some distance. We were guessing afterwards, trying to figure out, 100 feet out or whatever the case is.
Boy,
so now they're stepping through it, and you can see. And then as it's happening, I know, some of the officers are like, hey, careful, I fell to the ice here or whatever. And then they just kept moving. And then they converge. Some lock arms, some grab each other's belts, some grab each other's equipment, and then they try to get as low as possible, and then they're giving him direction, and at which point they had made a loop with the dog leash, because again, you don't have your fingers, you can't,
Gosh.
There's nothing to it, so they made him put his arm through, and then they said just try to get your arm, and then they manhandled him out, once they got a little bit out, then they got him out, and I mean, he's physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, but that's not the end of it, because Adam Ocampo just drove his car right up onto the beach. He just four-wheel it, just got it right up there. He's got the heat going.
Oh, my gosh.
He wants to lay down. They're like, nope, you got to keep moving,
Yeah. Right,
they give
circulation.
Him his, right, and just to keep going, mindset. And again, because we're talking later, his core temperature is 93 degrees. Who knows? Is it lower
what it
than
was
that?
Then, yeah.
Who knows?
Sure.
So, they give him his dog. I mean, these are things that just, it's amazing for comfort. They want to make sure, make sure he knows and he recognizes, because the dog was literally, the fur was frozen.
Oh.
And a 9-month-old small dog.
It was like an Alaskan, I don't know.
It was a mix.
Eskimo mix.
And they give it to him, and they throw him in a car. He's heating up, and the ambulance gets there. They transfer the ambulance, and get him in a warm blanket, and then just take it from there.
And is he perfectly fine?
He's very nice guy. Very
yeah,
nice
seems
guy.
Like
met
it.
Him. His wife's dad's a police officer in Rockford.
Okay.
Small world.
Wow.
Dialogued a great deal with his parents. They live 5 hours away, and they were very appreciative, and all very good people. And I can't stress enough. I would have done exactly the same thing. I can't say it would be a good choice.
Well, that's the thing. Everyone's sort of judging and second-guessing. Gosh, you don't jump in after your dog, and I don't know.
Hindsight's
it's so hard.
Hindsight's 2020. It's real easy to say that, but
your dog's like paddling for life, and
right. And I'll say this. This is, to emphasize, these guys, you watch the video. It is emotional. It's great.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I have the ability to, as supervisors, we watch these body-worn cameras all the time, and it's actually part of one of the things we're supposed to do as supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one. There's another one, another recent rescue where our park car pulls a guy out of the lake. There's another one where we had a guy talked off a roof that was going to jump off a roof. It's like Hollywood. It's amazing.
Yeah, these are ordinary human beings doing superhero type feats and rising to the occasion
when
in extraordinary
count.
Ways.
Right, without hesitation.
Without thinking.
I'm very, very proud to work with them.
What a great team. And one other lesson out there for all you youngsters, there are plenty of places to walk your dog inland when it's this cold. Don't tempt fate.
Yeah.
Well, he says that now, the man who says, you saved his life. He credits you with that. He says even when he was in the water, he said, geez, this is, I am not going to last any longer. I will die here if I don't get found. He even tried to get his own cell phone, even though he said his fingers and hands were numb.
Yeah, he couldn't. And he said for some time afterwards, a good month afterwards, he still had tingling.
Like
pain sensation
issues.
And it's I think he's fully recovered now, but he was very the guys did a great job. It speaks to you get a sergeant, you got 3 field training officers, you got a recruit, another tenured officer, and you got a recruit who's on the street just for weeks, and seamless. It's I could not be more proud of these guys.
How was work today, Ethan? Your third
<You're>
week
really
well.
this
wasn't in the training, but
because I guess in a more perfect or ideal scenario, if it were warmer weather and the water wasn't that bad, I mean, could you have had time to call an official rescue division that has official equipment?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so we've got so many miles of lakefront. We've got the Chicago Police Marine Unit, right? We have the fire department, and we also have the Coast Guard, and they all deploy differently. They all deploy differently. It's all relative to who's going to be there and the closest ones. And we're always going to be the first ones there. And it's not an uncommon situation for any lakefront district. Mm. You're on there on the scene. And we had one in 24 within the last boy, when it was still warm. And I believe it, if I'm not mistaken, it was a fatal. And some of the officers who they doffed their gear. Hmm. Somebody stayed on shore. They jumped in and they swam out. And it was rough weather. And we wound up losing somebody. We saved somebody and lost somebody. Hmm. So it's going to be those first responders, and it's going to be and it could be any one of these guys, you know. And the next day, these guys all went out. It's funny. They have a friend, family friend, who is a parachute rigger, which is a person who deals and makes parachutes, right? Mm. So they all went there, that's, and they all purchased their own rescue kits for this specific purpose. They designed,
oh, really?
And purchased their own.
Oh, wow.
You know, 100-foot of web, of different color web with, you know, sewn in handles or whatever the case is, and then a clip on the end, and then now they all carry it. They learned their lesson, just like anything else.
Wow. We
carry tourniquets and stuff. It's something they kind of took on their own, recognizing there might not be somebody there next time with a dog leash.
Well, you know, it's a moment to reflect on what the men and women of CPD do every day.
Yeah,
because you think about how often you put your own lives before others without even thinking in situations like this. We just saw at that situation with the horrible situation in Englewood a couple of days ago with that drive-by shooting outside the baby shower.
Right.
And I mean, you had several kids who were shot. You had adults who were shot. Mm-hmm. Police officers, in the true sense of the word of being first responders, likely helped save that little boy as well, who was shot multiple times, and immediately rendered aid to him. The medic said that they were able to stabilize him quickly because of the work they had done. And you just think about that. You think about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I'm not 100% familiar with that particular case. I know those they use the LEMART training. It's the law enforcement based training that we started a few years ago. And the idea, the concept behind it is self aid and buddy aid, and that's actually something that we stole from the Marine Corps overseas.
Mm-hmm.
And and it was a pilot program, I think Ralph Cruz was designed and put out there, and it's been tremendously fantastic. I mean, as far as it's been a win. We'll just say it's a win. And it's a little bit beyond, you know, you dial 911 for just about every single problem.
Right.
Can only imagine.
And then so, you know, and it's another thing that we we're finding ourselves doing. And if it saves one life, it's worth it.
It just speaks to the many, many, many different types of hats every officer wears every time he or she walks out the door. It's enforcement. It's peacekeeping. It's life saving. It's so many different things. And not everything can be planned in advance.
You try to have a plan for everything, and then definitely whenever you have some kind of situation, you can learn from it, and then after action.
That's the old saying, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
I know, right? So do these officers get some sort of something in their paycheck, or a little other than the honor of people recognizing them?
Yeah, I'm sure at the end of the month, I'm sure it'll be there, right? it's a really nice thing. The mayor actually recognized him, gave him a phone call, actually called him down to, called each one personally. I know also city council recognized them. What gave the story some more legs, which is great, bring it to your guys' attention, and thanks again for allowing me to tell the story.
Thanks for being here.
Chicago Police Memorial Foundation.
Mm.
They honor an officer, a group of officers every month as an officer of the month, and they got him in as quickly as they could. Because again, good work that's being done.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no short supply of people that they like to honor. I had the pleasure of also we drafted an award for him, a life saving award, which is the department's second highest award.
Cool.
And it's so they're, you know, the group of them, it's been approved, so they'll be receiving that at a later date. And you know, it's great. It's, you know, Ethan Furman, it's funny because every time he comes to these different recognition ceremonies, he brings like 50 people, it seems. And it's any time coppers, you know, get involved in something like this, I always kind of push on them and say, you make sure you bring your family. They need to see.
They need
good.
To see, exactly.
Because you take a beating
spread
every
the
single
word.
Day.
Yeah.
You can take a beating every single day, but it's important that they see the good that you do. And there's so
that's
much
a great point, John.
So much good that these guys do every single day.
Absolutely.
And we'll take the win.
It's good to spotlight just a little bit of it. Commander Sean Loughran, thank you so much for coming
thanks
on, sharing a story, and thank you to your officers who performed this
good
courageous
team,
act
team.
And saved a man's life.
Thanks.
Coming up top of the hour, we're going to check in with Andrea Darlis, see what's going on with the WGN News.
Former Bolingbrook Police Sergeant and convicted wife killer Drew Peterson is talking with WGN TV. We'll tell you what he had to say.